The Writer Files, a member of the Podglomerate Network.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I am just so thankful for all of the readers who have reached out to me and who have like said, oh, I love your book, because writing is such a solitary thing. And I wrote this book for me to like as a conversation for my own grief. And I do that through humor mostly, which is why there are so many ghost puns, because I told myself if I was going to write a ghost story, I am going to use at least like 5 very bad puns.
Welcome back to The Writer Files. I am your humble host, Kelton Reed, wishing you pages, patience, and perseverance per usual. New York Times bestselling author Ashley Poston spoke to me about her pivot away from YA, the importance of fan fiction, and her paranormal romance debut, The Dead Romantics. Ashley's bestselling YA novels have been featured by Teen Vogue, Entertainment Weekly, BuzzFeed, and more. Her highly anticipated pivot to romance is The Dead Romantics, a story about a millennial ghostwriter who believes romance is dead, a humorous and heartfelt novel with a fresh, slightly supernatural hook. The New York Times bestseller and Good Morning America book club pick has been called While You Were Sleeping Meets 6 Feet Under by the New York Times, and bestselling author Emma Straub called it smart, quick, and absolutely bubbling over with love for the genre of romance itself. Ashley Poston has spent the last decade in the publishing industry as a social media coordinator, a marketing designer, and finally an author. In this file, Ashley and I discussed her work behind the curtain in publishing, what it's like to be a GMA book club pick, how to stay in love with writing, why graveyards have curfews, the power of deadlines, and a lot more. Stay calm and write on. And don't forget, you can always support this show by heading to writerfiles.fm, where you can also sign up for email updates, get links to merch, and other resources for writers. And if you're a fan of The Writer Files, please click follow to automatically see new interviews in your podcatcher as soon as they're published, and drop us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to help other writers find us. All right, we are back on The Writer Files. I am honored today to be joined by bestselling author Ashley Poston, just joining us. How are you feeling today?
I am feeling really great. It's so lovely to be here.
Awesome. I know that you are kind of in the midst of promoting your latest, which I can't wait to talk about, The Dead Romantics and the amazing reception that it's had thus far. But yeah, I want to talk a little bit about your circuitous path to bestselling author and then this latest kind of what we're calling your adult debut. But take us back a little bit, because I understand that you spent years in publishing kind of wearing different hats, and you kind of have a very unique viewpoint of the publishing industry itself, probably, and some of that, I'm guessing, went into the latest.
It did, actually. Circuitous, that's a 5-star word. I don't think I can even spell that. but yeah, it was a pretty serpentine journey to publishing. So I started in the business, you could say, as a blogger. And I was also doing a lot of graphic design work at the time. And I somehow stumbled into a cover designer. So I was a book cover designer for a few years. It was my freelance gig while I was an actual print designer for a local printing press. And then one of my clients happened to be Bloomsbury, and they had a job opening for a marketing designer, and I took it. And so I went to New York City, and I did the whole New York City thing, and I worked for Bloomsbury, and it was the most wonderful, magical time. It was really fun. As a nerd for all things publishing and books, it was the coolest experience. And then my writing started to take off, and I decided, it was a really hard decision, but my agent and I decided together to try and focus on writing full time. So I left publishing and I moved back home, and I have been writing ever since. So I started with the novel Geekerella, which is an IP project from Quirk. It was a work for hire that I auditioned for. And then we sold my sci-fi young adult. And then six books later, I am now in the adult sphere. So this is my technically it's my ninth book, but it's my seventh book.
Well, it's got to feel pretty good. Do you feel like it's a needed pivot for you at this point in your career?
I needed to do something new. Like I always, since the beginning of like mine and my agent's partnership, I told Holly that I wanted to do adult in some form, because that's kind of where my first books were. And I was writing that and YA at the same time. And so I told her, like, eventually I want to do this thing. And eventually we got to it. I did not think the Dead Romantics would be one that we would go out with, because it's a paranormal ghost story, right? And we haven't really seen much paranormal since Twilight. So it was like a shot in the dark, basically. And it's been a wild and fantastic ride. I always write kind of weird books, and my agent is like, yes, the weirder the better. Let's do it. So yeah, I would not be here without her at this point.
Amazing. So it's kind of like all been grist through the mill for the Dead Romantics, which congrats has gotten some amazing reviews. It's become a Good Morning America Book Club pick, which has to be pretty thrilling for you.
It was so weird.
Yeah. How does that feel?
It was so surreal, because they tell you like months in advance, right? And so I had to like keep this secret for so long. And then finally when it was announced, like everyone was like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, I know, oh my gosh. And then it was a Barnes & Noble fiction pick for July as well. Yeah. And I just did not expect so many people would fall in love with this little ghost story about love and grief and like getting through the hardest days of your life. And I've gotten so many wonderful messages from people who are like, I thought I was alone in this like lake of grief, but apparently there are other people in this rowboat too, just trying to get to the other side, which there is no other side to grief, right? It's just this long unending lake, but it gets easier the more people who are tied to your boat, right? It like when you're not alone in it. So yeah, it's been really wonderful, and I am just so thankful for all of the readers who have reached out to me and who have like said, "Oh, I love your book," because writing is such a solitary thing. And I wrote this book for me to like as a conversation for my own grief, and I do that through humor mostly, which is why there are so many ghost puns. Because I told myself if I was going to write a ghost story, I am going to use at least like five very bad puns, and I did. So
you make it on your threat.
I did. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. This is my only chance.
Yeah. It's interesting. So, you know, we don't want to do any spoilers. The reviews have been stellar. I thought the New York Times said it well when they called it While You Were Sleeping Makes 6 Feet Under. Publishers Weekly, of course, said that it manages to affirm the cynics and give hope to the romantics by simultaneously embracing and subverting rom-com tropes, which it does. Emma Straub, who's also appeared on this show, who's also been interviewed on this show, called it smart, quick, and absolutely bubbling over with love for the genre of romance itself. So that's got to feel pretty good. I mean, your peers have kind of come out of the woodwork to blurb it and say some really nice things. So yeah, you must be feeling affirmed.
I am. I'm just like, yay, we all like romances with happy endings. Who knew? That's a novel concept, a romance with a happy ending.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about the inspiration for The Dead Romantics, because you know it does incorporate some of the tropes as we've mentioned, but turns them on their head. And what kind of inspired you to utilize a main character who can see the dead and this kind of like quasi supernatural piece to you know a classic genre?
Well, to talk about that part, I would have to like give away one of the biggest puns in the entire novel. So
earmuffs.
Yeah, right. The Dead Romantics actually, to be completely serious, began as a fanfic. I was I am a huge proponent for fan fiction and writing it. It is a great character study, and it's good, especially for professional writers who, like, we have to write all the time to make a living. And a good way, at least for me, to stay in love with what I do and what I write is to write something with no stakes. And fanfic is something with no stakes. There's no due date. There's no one who needs it for a deadline. It's just something that I can do. And it's like not my characters. It's characters that I love. And it's just a really great exercise for me to like figure out like what tropes I really like how I like them, like how certain characters come together and like work through certain scenes or certain scenarios. So I am a huge fan of writing fanfic. And I had been writing a few chapters in this one fanfic when I was like, you know what? I kind of like this plot a little too much to keep going this way. So I took it out of the fanfic and I shook it out. And I was like, okay, let's start from square one. And this in square one is like, so the way I write is I start with a scene, one singular scene, and I branch off from that scene. Like, you know, that meme where it's like that guy and he has yarn going from every point and he looks like, you know, kind of like wild. And he's like, okay, this is it. This is the scenario. Right. That's kind of how I do most of my books. So the scene that I started with was two people walking in a graveyard at midnight. One's a ghost. And so I was like, okay, so who are these two people? Why is the ghost a ghost? Who is this other person with him? Why are they in a graveyard? Where are they? And I just kind of like built everything from there. I like building characters around tropes and scenarios. And so I crafted Florence and Ben to fit best in the like scenarios and the journey that I wanted them to go through. So that's kind of like how I created the story in general. It's kind of like throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah.
It's not the most exact science, but I have been writing long enough that I know like myself and I know what works for me. And that is like something that I think every writer can attest to eventually. Like it's something that like when something is working, you know, it's working. When something isn't working, you kind of don't really want to write it. You're kind of stuck in the scene. And like, for me, it's always like my subconscious telling me that, oh, something is wrong here, but I'm not sure what it is. And so you have to go back and then you have to tweak it and change it. But yeah, so that's kind of how The Dead Romantics came about. And also, while I was writing this, I knew I wanted to write a ghost story because I love ghost stories. I've always loved like paranormal romances in general. I grew up in the time of Twilight, right? So it was like this huge boom of paranormal romances, but a very like small subgenre where was ghost romances, and most of them did not have happy endings. And so I was like, you know, I'm going to write one that has a happy ending, because when I was like 10 years old and when Casper was like, can I keep you? My 10-year-old self was like, yes, that's it. Pinnacle of romance. So it was just like appeasing my like childhood self, right? And then as I started going through the novel, I began to realize that subconsciously I was having a conversation with myself about my own personal grief at the time, because someone very, very close to me had passed away like 6 months before. And it was very, very hard for me. And so I guess I just had a conversation with myself about it. And it was very cathartic, and I did not expect myself to do that. Right. I didn't think, this book would be a conversation to myself about that, but it ended up being. And so a lot of my thoughts on grief and the passing of a loved one, kind of like bled into, the Dead Romantics.
Well, I mean, as I say, so often, you know, great art comes out of grief or loss. And then, as you said it yourself, grief and love go hand in hand. I'm just quoting you here: to love someone is to grieve them someday, and to grieve them means that you love them, which is, which is quite poetic.
Thank you.
Yeah, talk a little bit about some of the research that went into the 6 Feet Under piece, because of course, I'm imagining you didn't have a past working in a funeral parlor or a funerary services. But yeah, talk a little bit about some of the research that went into the book.
Well, I did not used to work in a funeral home, but one of my family members did. So I had a small in there. The family member actually passed away in the funeral home too. So that was
interesting.
Yeah, that was interesting. A lot of the research that I did was, I ended up talking to smaller family-run funeral homes. I read a lot of articles about funeral services and, like, you know, the business of death, which is so incredibly interesting. And almost none of it went into the book, because Florence doesn't really care about that part of her family's business. It's all Alice. Like, if this was Alice's book, everything would be about what I researched. Mm-hmm. And Alice is her younger sister. But yeah, like I read a lot about, like, the process of death. Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, a nonfiction memoir about someone who worked in a crematorium. And yeah, it's very lovely.
I know the book and I know the author, because I believe she's been on this show.
Really? Oh, man.
Yeah, totally. She was a mortician and fantastically interesting writer. What was the name?
I can't think of her name.
Caitlin Doughty.
Yes.
Yeah. So Caitlin Doughty we've done an interview with Caitlin Doughty, which was super fascinating, because I found that book to be very strange. But it was her other book, I think, we were talking about. Anyway.
Yeah, it was she came out with a newer one about mm-hmm. practices, like, around the world.
Yeah, which totally.
Was also really interesting. But no, I would sit down with her and I would just pick her brain for so long. It was so interesting to me.
Yeah, I think we were talking about From Here to Eternity. Mm-hmm. The subtitle on that one was Traveling the World to Find a Good Death. Anyway, we digressed. I apologize.
Oh, no, please. Like, tell me everything. I want to know everything about that. I'm going to go back and listen to that episode, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I'll find a link. I'll drop a link in the show notes. Absolutely.
Oh, excellent.
Sure.
But yeah, I adored that one. And then there were other, there were some articles. I kind of hacked into one of my friends who still had their college paper login. And I like read some, more like scientific approaches, and anyway, it was very interesting. And now every time I go to a funeral, I'm like, well, I know everything that goes into this, and I'm not sure I like it anymore.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
this is fun, and that's like that's my new party trick. it's so funny as an author, because you go down these rabbit holes and you start researching things that you never thought you would need to research for a book. Like I ended up researching why there are curfews for graveyards, which
why are there curfews for graveyards? I mean, it makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense. But yeah, so like most graveyards have like, you know, closes at 10 p.m. sort of thing, even like even if they aren't like perpetual care. And I also went down the rabbit hole of perpetual care graveyards too, which it's all wild. but it's just so that they keep like basically people from kissing on the tombstones, like, and making out on someone's grave. And I'm what? All the power to you, I guess. People are going to do that anyway. I know. I know. When I was a freshman in college, we absolutely snuck into quite a few graveyards, just because it was like fun, right? And it's kind of spooky.
Yeah, totally. I remember doing that.
Exactly. You know, graveyards, closed mental asylums, you name it.
Exactly.
But
just to have the story.
Exactly, just to have the story and maybe to ghost hunt a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, so I did a lot of research on that. I ended up doing research on like how to get a dog elected mayor, because this is not a spoiler, but the mayor's a dog, by the way. So, which you can do. You can actually elect a dog mayor, which is amazing. Hilarious.
Amazing.
But yeah, it was just a bunch of like a bunch of weird like rabbit holes that you just end up going down, and then you don't use any of it in the novel, and you're like, well, was this a mistake to research this, or is this a good party trick now?
Yeah. Well, talk about actually when you're getting into the flow state, when you're getting pages, and you feel like, you know, you've synthesized a lot of that stuff, Talk if you could be evocative kind of about like your best day, what it looks and feels like for you. Are you a morning writer? Are you an afternoon writer? Do you drink a lot of coffee? How does that go for you?
Well, my best days are me laying on the floor crying. No kidding.
Okay.
Joking.
I'm not laughing because see what you did there?
I mean, like it's kind of true though. Like you ask any author, they're just like, oh no, today I cried a little bit and I got like 20 words in. It's like, how are you supposed to like create in these conditions, right? But somehow you have to keep on keeping on. But my best days are when I can wake up early and then like read a little bit, and I don't actually start writing until maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but I usually go until like 10 p.m. Those are like my prime hours for writing. But if I have to edit like global edits or line edits, I usually try and get that in between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. And I cannot do both in the same day. I have tried. I have burnt out so quickly doing that. So yeah, you know, a good day is me being able to write and create not on like a very like tight deadline, which I haven't been on a tight deadline in like 3 years. So this is like wishing that I can eventually like worm my way through a story again. But not that I'm complaining. I actually really love deadlines. They keep me moving forward, and so I don't get stuck on a scene or a choice a character makes, because if I think too long about something, I just start turtling and I'm like, oh no, what if this is the wrong choice? What if this is the wrong character? What if this is the wrong story? It gets bad quickly. But yeah, that's my perfect day. And you know, it'd be great if like my cat didn't, you know, vomit on the carpet.
Yes. I believe just, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, perfect day, right?
Well, congrats on the work. The Dead Romantics has received some incredible praise and blurbs, and you must be feeling pretty good at this point. I'll point, of course, to the book and to your home base there, which is ashposton.com.
Yeah.
And you are on Twitter and Instagram.
I am on Twitter at Ash Poston as well, but I am on Instagram at Hey Ash Poston because someone is sitting on my username.
Oh, brutal.
I know.
Are you doing book talk also, which would be TikTok for books?
I mean, I am technically on TikTok at Hey Ash Poston as well. But I'm not sure I want to wade into book talk because for me, like, book talk is for readers, not really for authors. That's how the most organic book talk hits come from, right? They come from readers sharing the books that they love. It's not really through author engagement. And so I think that should be a space for readers.
Gotcha.
But I do love TikTok. It is so much fun.
All right. Well, before we wrap up here with just your advice on how to persevere for your fellow scribes, if you could have, any author from any era to an all-expense-paid dinner at your favorite restaurant in the world, who would you take and where would you take them? Of course, this fits into our theme here today of quasi-supernatural occurrences.
Oh, it does. Ooh, I don't know where I would take her, but I would love to sit down with Diana Wynne Jones and just pick her brain about soft fantasy and really, really lovely character growth and her experiences with Tolkien, and we would just talk Lord of the Rings the entire time. That would be the perfect pair. I am a huge Diana Wynne Jones fan.
Very cool. Yeah. Where would you take her?
You know what? I am not really all that big on restaurant names. I'm not sure. A nice Michelin starred restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Go for it. It's all expenses paid. So, what do you think you would you have a cocktail with Diana?
Absolutely. Yes.
What would you drink? Go big. Go big or go home.
I don't know. Probably a margarita. Let's be honest.
Okay. Perfect. Salt or no salt?
Absolutely salt.
Okay.
Salt, 100%.
We'll probably go top shelf. Do you a gold tequila, like an añejo or a reposado, or do you prefer silver tequila?
Probably silver, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it goes down a little smoother.
Yeah, a little bit. And I like sweeter things anyway, so.
All right, perfect.
Yeah.
I love it. Margaritas, Diana Wynne Jones at a fancy spot. All right, well, we appreciate your time, your wisdom. I know you have to pop off here, but if you could just leave us with a pearl of wisdom on just how to keep going through good times or bad.
Only you can write the story that you're thinking of, even if you think it's been done before. You haven't done it. So that's my pearl of wisdom.
Only you can write the story. It's all up to you, listeners.
Yeah, it's all up to you. No one else can do it.
the future is in your hands.
Exactly. And all you got to do is finish that book. That's the hardest part.
And don't forget, with great power comes great responsibility. Wow, I'm just leaning on.
You're just leaning into the MCU. You're about to tip over into the multiverse.
Ashley, thank you so much. Best of luck with everything. Congrats on the latest. And we hope you come back and rap with us again sometime.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me here. This was amazing.
Thanks so much for joining us for this file. And if you're a fan of the show, simply head over to writerfiles.fm for more. That's writerfiles.fm. I dropped the link to that Caitlin Doughty podcast in the show notes for you.
Heck,
or in
yes.
The chat. Can you see the chat box?
I can. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.